Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever had one of those, they're called earworms, a song that you hear over and over and over in your head? It comes from a little ditty that you heard maybe on a commercial. It comes from a song that you heard, perhaps the refrain of a favorite song or a new song. You hear that song, that voice, over and over and over. During the Christmas season, I sang the Christmas carol, Away in a Manger, probably 1,000 times. There are voices everywhere in the world today. Some come from your own head, from earworms, but we also hear voices from a lot of other places as well. We hear the voice of our families talking to us. We hear voices on television that are asking us to do things, trying to get our attention. There's a program on television you may have watched called The Voice, where contestants are chosen strictly by what the people of the panel hear, because they start out turning away from the contestant. Voices in music beat out a rhythm for us to hear to attract our attention. There are so many voices each day out there vying for our attention to get us to listen to them. Or perhaps, too, you might still remember something that your mother or your father or your grandparents said to you when they were young that you hear over and over again. My grandfather was famous for saying, "Yeah, yeah, Junge, it's a great life if you don't panic, if you don't weaken." I don't know why he said that. I suspect that there was something pretty difficult about his life that made him feel weak. But I remember hearing his voice say that. But there's also a voice out there that we tend to ignore or want to ignore. There's a guy called Satan out there, the great deceiver, who whispers continuously in our ear. Are you really a Christian? You don't always act like it. I'm not so sure. You were born a sinful person. You're never going to get it right. There's so much pain and suffering in the world. I bet you that God has gone on vacation, or perhaps he died. He certainly doesn't care about you. If God is the answer to all of the problems in the world, why is the world still so messed up? Your faith just isn't strong enough to get you to heaven. And then there are voices that people ask, questions that people ask. And I've heard this one before. How can a loving God allow all of those bad things to happen in the world? How can a loving God allow suffering and pain? Perhaps they say God spoke to those ancient people. Maybe he did, as the Bible says. But when was the last time he talked to you? Tough questions for us to answer. When we hear those questions, when we hear those voices, it's easy for us to begin to have doubts. Why does God allow all of this pain and suffering in the world? Does God even exist? Am I really forgiven? Have I really inherited eternal life? Do I really have that hope of eternal life that the Bible talks about? Does God really care about me? Those are the kind of questions that we can ask ourselves, and I bet you that you have asked yourself some of those questions as well. And when those questions come along, we begin to rationalize. We begin to look for other ways, maybe, to go to heaven. Because we can see that, well, we're weak people. Lots of people say there's other ways to get to heaven. Look at all of those other religions out there who offer answers to us. But when we start looking for answers somewhere else, we tend to look to ourselves. I can figure out a way to heaven. I can come up with all of the answers I need to come up with. But then we are putting our faith in ourselves, and that becomes self-idolatry. And that's not how we can get to heaven, because we are not capable of earning our way to heaven. Other times people might rationalize, saying, well, I really am a good person. I'm not the sinner that I'm made out to be in the Bible. I've been basically a good person, and well, after all, because of all the good that I've done, I deserve it, that eternal life. More rationalizations. Others say, I can find beauty and peace in nature. I can find God out there in his wonderful creation. I don't need Jesus. I can do this myself. But if you have that thought, when you're lying there on your deathbed, to whom will you turn? You won't turn to nature. Some other people would say that, and rationalize their idea, is that life is meaningless anyway. Death is too strong even for Jesus to overcome. There must not be anything on the other side anyway. And so we tend to rationalize and move away from God and not listen to his voice. Today we usher in the season of Epiphany. Last Sunday was Epiphany Sunday. Today we begin the season of Epiphany. It's the liturgical season when Jesus is revealed as the Son of God. But you might say, why does he need to be revealed? If God has so far kept him hidden in his life, let me explain that a little bit better. A couple of Sundays ago, we talked about Jesus coming to the temple for circumcision, and he met Anna and Simeon. And Simeon sang that song, Now Let Your Servant Depart in Peace. That's when he was 8 weeks old. And we've all heard the story that when Jesus was 12, he was studying in the temple and listening to the priests and talking with them, and Mary and Joseph headed back to Nazareth only to find out that he wasn't with them. And he said, when they found him, don't you know I must be about my Father's business? But if you think about it, from his birth until his beginning of his ministry at age 30, those are probably the only two things that we know. We don't know if he excelled at childhood games. We don't know if he ever cut a board too short for his father. We don't know if he ever hit his thumb with a hammer. We simply don't know much about him. God hid his divinity, and so we must therefore learn about him when he begins his ministry. And that's what this season is all about. It is at about age 30 that Jesus comes to the Jordan River to be baptized by John so that he can begin his ministry there. And none of the people who were there knew anything about him. He was just another person. Until, of course, after he's baptized, the Holy Spirit comes down and rests upon him. And then there is a voice that we hear. It's a voice from God. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is God's voice declaring Jesus as his Son, revealing him as God himself, as God and man at the same time. That's a pretty impressive person to have on your side. It's a public declaration by God that Jesus is in fact his Son. And then Jesus begins his ministry. We hear a little bit more about God's voice in the psalm that we just went through a little while ago. That psalm says that God's voice is powerful. It says that God's voice shakes the wilderness. It says that God's voice strips the forest bare and it makes the deer give birth to their fawns. It says the voice of God crushes like thunder. And haven't you ever listened to thunder and thought, that could be God? It's that kind of a strong voice that we hear. And it was that same voice from the Holy Spirit that empowered Jesus, who descended on him that day, that gave him the strength and the power to do the mighty things that he did. But it is God who first reveals that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. The problem we have is that our minds tend to be restless and wandering. We try to listen to and evaluate all of those voices out there that daily are attacking us. And unfortunately, we're easily deceived by a lot of those voices, because in the case of Satan, he knows all of our weaknesses. He knows all of our thoughts, and he knows just exactly where to apply the pressure. And so because of our impatient nature, we want to have answers to all of those questions. We don't accept things that might be a mystery. We don't accept the idea that God thinks bigger things than we are able to understand. And so, therefore, we must continually be seeking this Jesus who today is defined or declared to be divine. It was this Jesus who took the divine action that we read about in the next 7 or 8 weeks. It was that Jesus who was tempted by Satan. It was that Jesus who healed the lepers. It was that Jesus who drove out demons. It was that Jesus who restored the man's hand that was withered. It was that Jesus who healed the centurion's child and brought the widow's son back to life. It was that Jesus who calmed the storm. And most importantly, it was that Jesus who died on the cross to save us, because we cannot save ourselves. That is the Jesus that we are getting to know and be reminded of and learning about in this season of Epiphany. Do not be deceived by the many voices that are out there calling to you. It is in Christ alone that we find our rest for our restless and questioning minds. This divine Jesus that we are learning about this season says, "Come to me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I may not give you all the answers, but I will give you rest." And so during this season of Epiphany, over the next 7 weeks, I believe it is, may you take this yoke of Jesus upon you. May you take this yoke and learn from him. For as he said, he is gentle and humble in heart, and in him you can find rest and for your souls. Amen. Now may the peace of the divine Jesus that we learn about this coming season, that peace that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.